Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7 for just a moment, please. We've been studying through the Bible, and we're in Deuteronomy, but we have a special blessing for all of us, and we want to take a look at something from Deuteronomy that ties together with it. Verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land, which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Uptites, the Audacites, and the Cellulites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. I'd like you to circle the Girgashites right there in the middle of that verse, the Girgashites. I have been looking for 23 or 4 years for the Girgashites. Nobody anywhere knows anything about the Girgashites. You can't find them in commentaries. You can't find them in history books. You can get their name, but you know nothing about them. They're a race of people that completely disappeared off the face of the earth. I have no idea who they were or where their roots are, but if you can find anything on the Girgashites, tell me, please. I just know this. When I found that, I thought, I wonder who these people are, and I've been looking for years. And I have about 3,000 books in my library, and there's nothing there. There's nothing on the computer. I realize this. I don't want to be a Girgashite. I don't want to just sort of, who? What was that? Oh, I don't know who that guy was. I mean, they must have had just such a loser of a lifestyle that they just disappeared, and that was it. That was the last that was heard of them. When the Lord your God, verse 2, delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, or take their daughter for your daughter. And it's much like our flesh. We don't want to make any deals with the world or with our flesh. And we don't want to have any mercy on it either. It'll destroy us. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. So they're getting ready to go in the promised land, but it's full of idolatry, and they need to just wipe it all out. But thus you'll deal with them. Just wipe them out, basically. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. You may want to underline that. In Peter's epistle in the New Testament, he says that we're a holy race. A holy people. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Therefore know this, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. You may want to underline all those verses. He's a faithful God, and he's a God who loves you. But he doesn't love you because you're cute. And he doesn't love you because you're rich, and he doesn't love you because you're poor, and he doesn't love you because you're smart, and he doesn't love you because you have a lot of good contacts that he could use. He simply just loves you. And why, we don't know. He just loves us. It's just unfathomable that he would love anybody from the human race, but he loves us all. Now, not all the human race is going to accept his love, but he tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. See, there's a real war going on. And as St. Paul said, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to get to know God through you, through his word. He loves you. And he may never give you another chance to hear his love for you because you've rebelled for so many years. We want to give you an opportunity to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. It's very, very simple. The Bible teaches us to simply believe in your heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, that God raised him, and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. Saved from what? You'll be saved from death. Your body will die, but the new you will still live, and you'll be given a new body. But if you go on living for yourself, you die with the body. No, God loves you. And Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross, not for his sins. He never sinned. He never said one foul word. He never thought one bad thought. He died on the cross for your sins. God asked him, would you be the price for them? We have shown the world through the Jewish race that you must shed blood. You must give a cow. You must give a lamb. But you be my lamb. You be the Lamb of God. And you die for all those people. And if you will die for them, and they will accept your sacrifice by faith, not by religion, not by upbringing, but by their own personal faith, then I will forgive them. And you will be the price. And they will not have to die. And God let his son die on that cross for you. And his son was buried in a grave. And his spirit, his soul, went down into hell. And he preached to those that were held captive. And the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 says, and he ascended on high, giving good gifts unto men, leading captivity captive. And that same Jesus who ascended on high is seated at the right hand of God's throne right now. And he's coming back any hour. We don't know when, but he's coming back soon. We do know that by the signs that are going on around us. And so you just heard a story of love and acceptance that everything that comes into your life isn't pretty. But this woman has learned that all things do work together for good for those that love the Lord, that are called according to his will and purpose. And the things in our lives aren't good. They aren't all good, but they can work together for good. God will use them to draw you close to him. And you do not want to leave this room as a bitter man or a bitter woman. Let us bow our hearts, let us pray. And this may be that you need to recommit your life, or you need to commit your life for the first time to Jesus Christ. And everybody that Jesus Christ called in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's gospel, he called them publicly. And I'm going to ask you to join the ministers and the home fellowship leaders to get out of where you're sitting right now and take a stand for Jesus Christ and come to the front of this platform that we could pray for you. There's no reason to play games about life and death anymore. We know the end is here. We're watching everything crumble in front of us. We've lost trust in Wall Street. We have lost trust in corporate America. We have lost trust in morality. We have lost trust in ethics. We have lost trust in religion. We've lost trust in everything. But the Bible says, trust thou in God. Hope in God, and your soul will be refreshed. The world is falling right before you. It's been smoking for decades, but its flames have come out in the last few years of the windows, and now they're starting to fall. The world is collapsing before your eyes. Don't let it take you down with it. So I'm going to say a prayer. I want you to say this prayer. And if it is your desire today to surrender to God, to take this day as a brand new day, I don't care how bad your childhood was, or your teenage years, or things went wrong in your 20s or your 30s, do not let bitterness take you down. Let God heal you. Bow your hearts and pray this. Dear God, I ask you, please, to forgive me of my sins. I pray, God, that you will wipe away all the ugliness of my life. I pray you'll give me a fresh start. I pray you'll remove from my life anything that is displeasing to you. And I pray, God, that you will give me faith to trust in you. And Lord, today I would like to say, forgive me of my sins. And I'd like to thank you that you allowed your son to come and to die for me. I don't understand it all, but I will accept it by faith that Jesus Christ is your son. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to take control of my life. And Holy Spirit, please give me the resurrection power that was given to Jesus. And God, I wish to live a life filled with your spirit and your love and your word. Touch me this hour and fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.